morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. I hope everybody's had a great week, a good weekend. And we're thankful and excited to have you here with us at Life Point Church today. So I know there's plenty of churches here in Louisville. There's one on every corner pretty much. And the fact that you chose Life Point Church to be your place of worship this morning, to come hang out with us and do life, man, we're stoked about that. So thank you all so much for being here. Shout out to my people on this side again. I mean, I say this every week. I don't know why people don't get this. You know, it's okay to come further into the church building. It's okay. It's all right. Even if you did something crazy last night, it's okay. You can really come into the church building. It's all right. But anyways, thank you all again for being here. We're excited to have you. Today, we're continuing on in our series that we started last week called 30 Days. And what we're doing in this series is we're exploring basically how just drastically different our lives would be if we recognize the fact that our time here on earth is very limited. That we didn't have this mentality that, you know, we're going to live forever and, you know, kind of we didn't have to think about things, you know, YOLO or whatever. But if we really embraced the fact that life is brief. If you received the unfortunate news that maybe you only had 30 days to live, how differently would your life be? How would you live out those final days? Man, and I know this is a heavy topic and one that we don't really like to think about, but it's reality. I mean, because the fact of the matter is, unless Christ comes back in our lifetime, every single one of us is gonna die. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, it could be 60 years from now. It could be on the drive home from church here today. Life is brief. I want to challenge you to think about that and how differently life would be if you really embrace that. How would you spend your time, right? If you knew you only had 30 days left, how would you spend your time? What would you view as important during that time period? How would things be different? Right? Life is brief. So let's go ahead and kick things off today with our main passage of scripture found in Psalms chapter 39. Verses 4 and 5, and here we see David calling out to God, and he says this. He says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be, right? He says, remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Understand and embrace the fact that our time here on earth is very limited. Last week, we looked at the words of James found in the New Testament, and he described this as that life being like a mist, right? I had the little spray bottle, a little mist, right? It's here for a moment and then vanishes away. That's what life is like. It's a mist. It's a vapor. And with that knowledge in mind, with that fact out there, I really want to ask you a very important question today. And that question is, where is your treasure? Right? Where is your treasure? Life is brief. It's short. So where is your treasure? What are you investing in? What do you view as important in your life? Where is your treasure? Are your treasures in the things of this world? Or have you taken a more eternal perspective and approach? Are your treasures on earth? Or are your treasures in heaven? And today, I really want you to be honest with yourself in answering this question. Answering the question of where your treasure is. And we'll see all throughout Scripture, there's a lot of information about this and how we should put our treasure in heaven. We should focus on that eternal perspective. I mean, Jesus drops some knowledge on us and some clear direction in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I mean, it is as clear as it gets. A lot of times we like to complicate scripture and things and say, well, I don't know if it means this and this, but this is crystal clear, right? He says, starting in verse 19, he says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Man, he said, don't put your very best, your time, your energy, your efforts into things that don't last. right? That are destroyed, that are here for a minute, and that are gone. Man, don't put your treasure into that. Don't put it into the things that you can't take with you once you take your final dirt nap, right? I mean, a pastor of mine, a former pastor, used to always say that you'll never see a U-Haul truck following a hearse with all their stuff in it, right? I mean, you'll just never see that because you can't take it with you. These things are temporary. Where rust and moths destroy, where thieves break it and steal. These things aren't eternal. They're temporary. And we have to fully understand this fact that life is brief and we need to invest and put our treasure in things that actually matter, that are eternal. It's kind of that wake-up call. And Jesus, may he fully understood this. Equally, he knew that we have this natural human inclination to be drawn towards material things, right? Even if we don't want to, we're kind of drawn to that, especially in our culture and society today. So he knew it was a struggle, and that's why he's telling us this. He says, don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven. But then verse 20, he says, don't store your treasures on earth, but store up yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Right? Store your treasures in heaven. Then he goes on to say why this is so important in verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's critical right there. That's the key piece of this whole thing right there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you invest your time, your energy, your finances, all your effort, I mean, your heart is going to be drawn in that direction. So if you're investing those things and you're putting your treasures of the things here on earth, well, that's where your heart's going to go. But if you're investing those things in the eternal, right? Putting up your treasures in heaven, then your heart is going to be drawn in that direction as well. So with that being said, what is your treasure? Like you personally, not the person beside you, not your spouse, not your kids, not your parents, but you. What is your treasure? Right? Where are you putting your best? Not your leftovers, but where are you putting your best? Your energy, your efforts, your full attention, your time, your resources. Where are you putting your best? What is your treasure? Is your treasure being placed in things of this earth that don't last? Or is it being placed in the things that are eternal, an eternal perspective, placed in the things that will last forever? And I really want you to be honest with yourself, right? Be brutally honest. Don't sugarcoat it, but be honest with yourself. Don't sit there and say, okay, I wish this is where my treasure was and what it was, so I'm just going to say it's that. Or, hey, I know this is what it should be, so I'm going to kind of lean a little more toward it. That's why I hate personality tests, inventory tests, because I'm like, well, this is where I think I am. This is where I want to be. I'll circle that, right? That defeats the purpose. Eric is cringing. But just be honest with yourself. Wrestle with this question. What is your treasure? Where are you putting your very best? Think about it this way. Over the past 7 days, just the past 7 days, where have you been putting your time, your energy, your effort, your resources? Are you putting into the things of this earth? Things that don't last forever? Or are you putting into the things that are eternal? Are you investing in that? Are you focused on the things that last forever? I'm telling you, because if your treasure is here on earth, I mean, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And if your treasure is on earth, that's where your heart is going to be drawn. But if it's eternal, if it's heavenly, then equally, that's where your heart is going to go. So we want to invest in the things that last forever. That's where we want our treasure to be. We want to deposit our very best there. and that with that eternal perspective. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes on to say, he talks about, he says, don't worry about your life. How many of y'all struggle with worry? I'll put two hands up on that, right? He says, don't worry about your life. He says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you'll drink or the clothes that you'll wear, those things that you need, the things of this world. He said, don't worry about that because I got you. He says, I've got your back. He says, I know what you need, and I'm going to meet that. But he says this in verse 33. He says, but seek first. Right? Not second, not last, not delayed. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things, those earthly needs, will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. There's your priority. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you. And that's not a prosperity gospel kind of thing that you seek him first and then you're going to get your Lexus and your big old house and everything that you want. No, no. He says, I'm going to give you what you need. Because he knows what you need. And he's going to take care of you. And see, we lose sight of that. We think that we're blessed when God gives us this abundance and this crazy amount of stuff. But every single one of us here today is incredibly blessed. And God's got you. He's got your back. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then I got the rest. I'll take care of you. So with that said, I want to challenge every single one of us here today. And if you've been here at Life Point Church for any period of time, you know that I'm challenging myself as well, because I'm along this with this journey right beside you guys. So I'm challenging us all today, and anybody that's listening in on this podcast, to begin to seek first what lasts forever. Seek first what lasts forever. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to be financially secure or to have good investments. Right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to be wealthy. If you're wealthy, high five. Congrats. Proud of you. I'm stoked for you. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. But what is wrong is seeking those things first. Surrounding your life around seeking out material things. The things of this earth. That's what we see here in Scripture. We're to seek first his righteousness, his kingdom. Seek first the things that last forever. So we're going to seek first those pieces, not things. Eternal perspective. I mean, how different would our lives be if we knew our time was extremely, extremely short? See, I don't think we would struggle with this whole concept if we really embrace that fact. In fact, I can guarantee you that if you knew that you had 30 days to live, that your treasure would not be in this earth whatsoever, at least not for those last 30 days. And I shared with you all last week about my friend who recently passed away from cancer, where he found out and was diagnosed just kind of out of the blue, and then several months later, less than a year, he was gone. He has small children. Wife, I guarantee you, I know for a fact that in those last days from that diagnosis on, man, he had that eternal perspective. The beautiful thing is that he had that before, but even more so once he got that news. He wasn't worried about material things. He wasn't worried about the size of his house or what kind of car he was driving or what kind of clothes he had or what kind of shoes he had. He wasn't worried about any of that crap. He wasn't. And he was spending time with his kids, spending time with his wife, making sure that they knew that he loved them, investing whatever he could in those last days. He was giving it to them. In fact, when we were at the funeral, they were talking about how actually in the last few days in the hospital, with what little energy he had left, I mean, because he fought hard, but what energy he had left, man, they were in the room with his friends and his family just singing worship songs, singing his favorite worship songs. Man, that's an eternal perspective. Worshiping God as he's losing his fight. His wife worshiping God as she sits there and sees her husband go. That's an eternal perspective. Because our lives would be so different if we really embrace that fact. We wouldn't worry about the things of this earth. We'd be focused on that eternal perspective. Man, I pray that God would burn that perspective deep into my heart and mind. Man, I pray that he does that. Because I don't want to live that selfish. I want to live for that eternal perspective. To where I'm seeking first what lasts forever. But see, I don't know about you all, but my struggle there is I say that and I get to that point, right? And I'm living from that eternal perspective and things are rolling well, and then life happens, right? And I get busy, or I get distracted with something at work, or with family, or whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden, I quickly slip back into that same old selfish, self-centered perspective and mindset of living for earthly things. Living for the things that don't really matter. And man, it's frustrating. It's frustrating how easily that I can let go of the things that really matter and then grasp hold of all these meaningless little things that are pointless. And that's my human struggle. I have to battle it, and it's frustrating. It ticks me off that I focus so much energy on these stupid little things that in the grand scheme of things, 100 years from now, aren't going to matter a bit. Probably 2 weeks from now aren't going to matter a bit. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know if y'all could relate to that. Okay. If so, cool. I'll preach to myself. But I needed to hear that. But we have to embrace that eternal perspective. We have to live for what really matters. Because life is brief. It's fragile. It's but a mist, a vapor. It's here for a minute and then vanishes away. And because of that fact, and to honor the words of Jesus and his teachings, I want to share with you three eternal promises that I want to challenge each and every one of us here today to make and to keep. Three eternal promises that will aid us in seeking first his kingdom, seeking first his righteousness, seeking first the eternal, the things that last forever. And the first one of these is that the first promise is that I will guard against materialism. Man, if we could do that, if one thing right there would be a game changer, right? We guard ourselves against falling into the trap of materialism. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He says, "Watch out." Right? Notice the exclamation point. Like, Jesus isn't playing games here. Like, he's serious, but he's like, watch out. Right? Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He's saying, man, watch out. Be on your game. Be on guard. Because you're going to struggle with this. You're going to slip up on this. So you got to be on guard. You know, watch out for all kinds of greed. Please understand me today that your life is not things. I like things, but that's not your life. Your life doesn't consist of your possessions. Your life is not your car. Your life is not your house. Your life is not your annual salary or how much you have in the bank. Again, none of those things are wrong, but that is not what your life is. And if it is, then you have truly bought into that earthly perspective. Those earthly possessions, that's where your treasures are. Our life doesn't consist of our things, and that's why Jesus says, man, watch out. You can fall into this trap. It gets so many people. It's gotten me so many different times in my life. I've been hung up in that snare. Far too often. And I'm going to go ahead and venture to say I'll probably get caught up in it again. That's why this promise is so important that I can say I'm going to guard against materialism. I'm going to keep that front and center. And I know most people are probably like, yeah, no, I get it. Life is not our things. I've heard that a billion times. I agree. I get that. But honestly, man, when you look at the way we live, our actions speak the opposite. It goes back into that whole mentality of a head knowledge versus a heart knowledge. We know a lot of things up here, but we don't know a lot of them here in our heart. We don't embrace them. We don't live them out. We're good at talking the talk. Man, we're terrible at walking the walk. We can talk a good game, especially on Facebook. Woo! Keyboard warriors out there. But man, what do our actions say? What do our actions say? A lot of times it says we're all about the things of this earth. I mean, take the American dream, right, for instance. The American dream. People talk about it all the time. It's materialism. Right? It's the whole concept of I'm gonna have more. I'm gonna get the starter home, right? Then I'm gonna work up to a better home. And eventually, I'm gonna get my dream home. And it's gonna be great. It's gonna be the American dream, right? I'm gonna get that dream home. I'm gonna have the nice huge walk-in closet, his and her closets, right? The nice kitchen. Right, I'm gonna have the big master bathroom with the massive walk-in shower and the jacuzzi tub, right? The man cave, yo. Have my man cave, 4-car garage so I can put my cars and my boat in it. Man, it's gonna be great. See, and then once I get that, man, then life will really matter. I will have arrived. Things will be good. Then I could chill a little bit and then actually spend time with my family. Once I achieve that. Once I gain those things, we spend all of our time pursuing these stupid things that don't really matter. Again, I'm guilty of it. We need that eternal perspective. Jesus says, man, watch out. He knows we're susceptible to this. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Man, I fall victim to this all the time, and I get so distracted wanting to provide great things for my family, right? I mean, with good intentions. I want to provide these great things and experiences for my family, but I forget that the best thing that I can give them is me, right? It's spending time with them, is loving them, investing in them, cheering them on, encouraging them, just being with them. That's what really matters. But I'll get so wrapped up in trying to give them the best that I give them nothing but some things that will waste away. Watch out. Be on guard. Be on your game. Jesus continues on in Luke chapter 12, and he tells a story about this guy. Man, he was killing it in the farming game, right? Like, he had this massive crop, and he had so, like, his harvest was so huge that he didn't have room to store it. Like, he didn't have any room to store it. And so he's thinking to himself, like, how am I going to solve this problem? He's like, I know. I'll just tear down all my barns that I currently have and build even bigger and better ones, right? And then because I got so much from this harvest, so many crops and grains that I can store them in these massive barns. And then once I have that, man, I'll have plenty. Then I can just kick back, chill, eat, drink, and be merry. Life will be beautiful. It'll be great. It'll be everything I ever dreamed and everything I ever wanted. Man, then I'm really living. Sounds good. But check out what God had to say about that. I want you to pay close attention to this. In verse 20, it says, but God said to him, he said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. All the things of this earth are pointless if you're not rich towards God. If you don't have that eternal perspective, if you're not connected with him. And I'm telling you, if you knew that you had 30 days to live, none of the material things would even be on your radar. It wouldn't even be a thought. You'd be focused on the eternal. So to help us stay on track with seeking his kingdom and seeking his righteousness, first, we're going to make sure that we intentionally guard against materialism. The second internal promise that we're going to make to assist us in seeking first what lasts forever is that we will be generous. Right? We're going to be generous. I'm talking crazy generous. See, because once we embrace that eternal perspective and we understand that, man, our treasures aren't on this earth, but our treasures are in heaven and they're in the things that last forever, man, we open ourselves up to being able to give because we know this isn't ours. We know that what we have is only because God blessed us with it. So we're going to be generous. Instead of holding on to everything and hoarding it, we're going to see God, say, God, how do you want me to use this? How do you want me to use this to bless somebody else or to reach more people? We're going to be generous, man. We're going to be generous with our money, with our possessions, with our things, with our time, with our attention and our focus. We're going to be generous with our love, right? We're going to be generous with our entire lives. Why? Well, we're going to do it because you cannot truly love without giving. Man, I really want you to let that sink in and really think about that. You can't truly love without giving. It's just simply because love gives. That's what love's about. It's about giving. John 3:16, right? Probably everyone in here knows that verse. At least has seen the scripture reference because they hold it up at wrestling, you know, arenas and sports, you know, games all the time. John 3:16, right? But really think about it from this perspective. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son for you. That's how much he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he didn't just give his leftovers. He didn't give you just, you know, I guess I can give y'all this because that's all I got. No, he gave his very best. He gave his only son for you, the absolute best that he could give. He gave it to you because love gives. When you love, it leads to giving. How many of you in here have kids or grandkids, right? Do you like to give to your kids? I mean, I do. I love to give to my kids. Or do you like to like withhold everything and be like, ha, 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 ha? And there's a time for withholding. You know, first world problems, right? But we love to give. We like to see them open up gifts. We like to see them get excited about those things. No one has to bend our arm to give. A lot of times parents are going into debt, unfortunately, because they just want to give to their kids. And it's because love gives, right? Or you're married, right? Or you have that special somebody in your life. I mean, do you like to give to them? Yeah, you do. You like to give these little gifts. You like to do special things for them. You like to give to them. And if you don't, you might want to check up on your relationship. Just saying. Because love gives. And it's the exact same thing with God. It's the exact same thing with God. Because love gives. God loved you so much that he gave his son. And the only reasonable response that we can have to that fact, to that gift, is to give him our entire lives. To give him everything. To give him our whole heart. That's the only reasonable response we have. Because love gives. And what I'm about to say may not be the most popular thing that I say today, and I know that. So let me just go ahead and say it as bluntly as I can. If you don't give to God, then you don't love God. You can chew on that. You can push back on that all you want. I don't really care. It's the truth. If you don't give to God, you don't love him. And again, churches jack this thing up, and they want to focus only giving is money. I believe that there is a piece of that. I believe scripture says to bring the tithe, right? To bring your first fruits. to bring the tithe. I'm all about that. I believe in that. I do it personally. But that's not the only giving we're talking about here. And I want you to hear that. If we love God, yes, we're going to give of our finances, but we're also going to give of our time, right? We're going to give of our energy, our attention. We're going to give our whole heart to Him if we truly love Him. Because you cannot love and not give. It doesn't work. It doesn't exist. For example, one of the greatest ways that we can give to God is by giving to people that are in need. I mean, I believe that. I believe that that's one of the greatest ways that we can give to God. In fact, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus was telling a story about how there'll be people on both sides, that there will be these people who knew Him and these people that didn't. And then it says that to the people that knew Him, He will say this, verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of, or to look after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And Jesus goes on to say that these people who truly know Him, when they hear this, they'll be like Jesus, when did I do that? Like, I don't remember. Like, and I think that if I did all those things for you, Jesus, like, I would probably remember that. So when did I do that? And this is how He responds in verse 40. It says, "The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" I have to be generous, loving, and giving. You see, when your treasure is not in this world, but is in heaven, man, you don't hold so tightly onto the things that you have here on earth. You see those as blessings, and you're open-handed, and you serve, and you love other people with it, and you use it responsibly, but you help people. You don't hold onto the things that destroy and don't last forever, but you hold tight to the things that are eternal, the things that do last forever. And again, that's the eternal perspective that we have to grasp, that we have to take hold of. Right? So to help us seek first what lasts forever, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, we're going to guard against materialism, right? We're going to be radically generous. And the final and third thing, the internal promise that we see is that I'm going to focus on what matters. I mean, simply put, I'm going to focus my attention, my efforts, my time, my resources, my everything on the things that really matter. Man, I pray that God would help me to improve in this area. Because, man, I'm telling you, I am seriously known for letting the littlest things get me all kinds of jacked up, sideways, twisted, frustrated, you name it. The smallest things. And it's because I'm not focused on what really matters. I mean, for example, this Friday, when I was coming home with the kids, they wanted Cane's. We stopped at Cane's. I was ordering food at the drive-through window. I asked for ranch. The young lady on the other end says, "We don't carry ranch." And of course, because I'm not focused on what really matters, I got frustrated. And I made some smart little comment over the speaker, like, "Well, that's awesome. Great. Thanks for that." Stupid. Things that don't really matter. I was focused on that, right? Focused on the things that don't really matter, as opposed to being focused on what did matter, which was setting a good example for my kids who were in the backseat of the car, right? Being focused on this young lady that was working the drive-thru window and being Jesus to her. Focused on being Jesus to her, right? This girl that has no say in whether or not Cane's carries ranch or not. Right? But it's because I wasn't focused on what really mattered. I got stories for days like that. So if you ever want to know, you can talk to Jen or me. I got them. And that's why I pray that God would help me to focus on what really matters. Because life's too short to be exerting all my efforts and energy and my stress and my worry into stupid things like that. And to not love people. To not be Jesus to the people. To not do what really matters. I will focus on what matters, right? And in order for us to do that, we first have to have a good understanding of what actually matters. So what does matter? Well, first and foremost, I'll say that people matter. People are always going to matter. I don't care who they are or what they're about, they matter. And we have to embrace that, and we have to live that out. I mean, the person sitting next to you, sorry, Brian, sitting next to you matters. Right? Your kids matter. Your stepkids, they matter. Your parents matter, right? Your dad's girlfriend who drives you crazy because she's trying way too hard, she matters, right? Your coworkers matter. Your neighbor matters. Your kid's best friend whose parents are atheists, they all matter. People are always going to matter. So just know that. Embrace that. They matter. Jesus matters. His truth matters, big time. Being generous matters. Living out the gospel every single day of your life matters. Being Jesus to everyone you encounter matters. Extending the grace and love of God matters. Those are some of the things that matter that we have to focus on. And not exert our energy and our effort and our time in these stupid little things that don't. As we begin to wrap this thing up, I want to share with you some of the words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote to the church of Philippi when he was still in prison and he was nearing the end of his life. Basically, he was looking back over his life and he penned these words in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He said, "But whatever was to my profit, all these things that I needed and wanted, all the good things that I earned, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." He's saying everything in this world that he's worked for, that he's accomplished, that he's acquired, that he's gained, that he's earned, that he profited. Man, he considers it rubbish, garbage, trash, crap. That's what he considers it. He considers it rubbish that he might gain Christ. Man, if you don't hear anything else today, hear that. That everything that was important, that he placed as important, really wasn't. It was rubbish. But knowing Christ, now that's what was truly important. Knowing Christ, the eternal perspective, that's what was most important. 1 John chapter 2, 17 tells us that the world and its desires will pass away. It's fleeting. It's not going to last forever. Not only this world, but also just the desires are going to pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. That's the eternal perspective that we need to take hold of, that we need to embrace, that we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Have that eternal perspective. And to help us hold and sustain that perspective, we're going to promise to do those three things, right? We're going to guard ourselves against materialism. We're going to be crazy generous, and then we're going to focus on what truly matters. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much again this morning that you give us your word, and your truth, God, and that we have the freedom and the ability to come to this place and worship you and speak your name and read your word, God. And we're so thankful for that. We thank you for the truth and the guidance that you give us. God, today as we continue, God, may you just speak to us that we would hear what it is that you have to say for us, God, that we would begin to push away that materialism and this earthly way of thinking and this earthly way of living and truly embrace that eternal perspective, seeking first the things that last forever. And you know we struggle with that. God, we pray that you would just speak truth into us. Give us the strength to be able to push through those things and to seek you first, to live with the knowledge and understanding that our life is brief, that time is short, we don't have time to waste, that we got to get busy. As we continue, maybe you're here this morning and, I mean, your next step is the fact that you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've been coming to church for a while, or you've kind of been in and out, or you've been at Life Point for a bit, but you've never given your life to Christ. You've never given him your whole heart. For whatever reason it may be. Maybe it's because of that material, selfish, earthly desires. You feel like if you give your life to Christ, that, man, you won't have all these things. But, man, I'm here to tell you that it's the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. And why? I get that fear. I understand it. But, man, when you step over that line of faith and you receive that peace, that joy, the love, that mercy, that grace that only God gives, man, you don't care about those things. Sure, it bubbles up every once in a while, but, man, I would not trade what I have in Christ for anything. For anything. And if that's you this morning and God is leading you to him, just call on his name. Don't delay it. Don't hold off. Don't complicate it. Just call out to him. I said, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." He did that for you. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess that you have flaws, confess that you're not perfect, and believe that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God who died and rose again for you, you confess and believe that you'll be saved, that you'll be eternally connected with him. You'll be a new creation. Old things pass away, all things are new. And if that's you and you're ready to step over that line of faith, you call out to him however he leads. That's between you and God. Just confess and believe. And he's got you. It's because he loves you. He gave that for you. Because love gives. And it's time for you to give your life back to him. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for some time, but man, you're stuck in that trap. Materialism, earthly possessions, storing up your treasures here. And you've been fixated on that. You've been grinding at work, focused on the career, and God is on the back burner. It's time to flip-flop that. I'm not saying be lazy, stop focusing on your career, don't work. There's seasons where you got to grind. I get it. I'm not saying that that's an issue. But you know what your real focus is. You know where your heart really is. You know what you've made a priority. And if your priority are the things of this earth, understand that life is short. Time to switch it up. Get back on track. Guard yourself against materialism. Be generous. Because what you have isn't yours anyways. It's only because God blessed you with it. So use that to love and serve people, to reach people with the gospel. Got that eternal perspective, you understand that that's what it's for. And you're going to focus on the things that really matter. And I pray that God would speak to you in that today, and that whatever those little tweaks are or those major changes that you need to make, that he would give you the confidence and the boldness to seek him and to run after those things. Because you can. You can do it through him. God, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. for forgiving us, for loving us. God, I pray that each person here today would begin to embrace an eternal perspective. Wherever it is that they're at currently, Lord, may they take one step towards that today. May, whether it be a radical life change or just some small tweaks, God, we pray that, God, I pray that you would speak truth. Change lives today, God, like only you can. God, we love you and we thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.